Are you an accounting or tax professional who wants to stay ahead without spending a dime? Join thousands who trust insightful accountant and tax practice news to keep them informed and empowered. Get expert updates on QuickBooks, Xero, tax planning strategies, and workflow tips delivered straight to your inbox. Whether you're a solo bookkeeper, firm leader, or tax advisor, these newsletters are your shortcut to what's next in the profession. They're free, practical, and built for people like you. Visit insightfulaccountant.com and hit subscribe to start your smarter workflow today for free.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Accounting Insiders Podcast. My name is Gary DeHart, and I'm the publisher of Insightful Accountant and the host of the Accounting Insiders Podcast. My guests today are Srini, who is the director of GKM, and Kinga Jasek, who is on the sales and marketing team at GKM as well. So thank you both for being here. Like to put a date stamp on here. Today is October the 22nd, and I always like to put the date in there just because you never know when somebody may listen to this. We may say something that is very, very appropriate or current or true today that could change tomorrow, right? And so if you are listening and we say something that might be a little outdated, it's because we recorded this on October 22nd of the year 2025. Probably need to include that, right? So, all right. Well, thank you both for being here. Let's start off. So basically, this is conversation, just talking about a little bit about GKM, a little bit about outsourcing, a little bit about what's going on in the accounting world, if you will, from an outsourcing staffing standpoint. And so we have kind of two viewpoints of that. Srini is more on the operations side, and then Kinga, as I said, is more on the sales and marketing side. So Kinga's, belly to belly, if you will, with the accounting profession, learning what your challenges are on a daily basis. And Srini's been in the background making it happen. I don't know if that's exactly how it works over there, but that's my take on it. So let's start off with Srini, since you are director at GKM. Overall, what is GKM?
Thank you, Gary.
Absolutely.
So great to be here today, and thank you very much for having us here. So Gary, we've been serving public accounting firms since the last 25 years with their accounting, CAS, and audit requirements as their back office. So we've been working with a little over 200 clients across about 34 different states across the US. And that's primarily what we've been doing for the last 25 years in a nutshell. So we have an offshore center that's based out of India, and our stateside presence is based out of Austin, Texas.
Okay. And how big is that presence in Austin?
So Austin, it's more of a small team, which is more of business development and customer relationship team, about 6-7 people. But our delivery staff is about 300 people, which is based out of India.
Okay, great. And that, you're in India. Kinga, you're in, where are you located?
I'm just outside of Toronto.
Oh, and you're in Toronto.
Yeah.
I'm in the Atlanta, Georgia area. So this is probably the most international podcast that I've had so far. So
yeah, our time zones are all over the place.
Right? We don't know where we are or what time it is. So so Kinga, what do you do day to day? Kind of sales and marketing team. What does that look like for you with working with GKM?
I am learning about the customers and talking to them. Honestly, it's such a funny time of year because everyone is just in preparation for what's to come in tax season. So everyone's that we're kind of speaking to at the moment is just in that learning phase, in the preparation phase, and they're looking for solutions. So it's like, okay, do I hire someone, whether it's part-time, train someone, do I just, start early and just plummet my team? With the work that the team that we have now with work. So I'm having these types of conversations with people about what's to come with their tax season. So that's kind of my day-to-day. If you get a newsletter from GKM, that's me. I'm on the socials. I get to do all that fun stuff on top of it all. But the bread and butter is just these conversations because they just show how much the industry is pivoting, how much, times are different. Not everyone's working in-house. People are moving into more rural areas as well. And people are looking for staff and looking for a team and looking for solutions.
Right. And so would you say that, I'm not sure which one you're going to be the best one to answer this, but the How was the market, I guess, openness to offshoring and outsourcing overseas?
I can definitely speak to this because in the last, I've been with GKM for a little over a year, and just going to conferences and, like I said, having these conversations, even over a year ago, I would say people were a lot more nervous with outsourcing. And I can definitely, like, scaling new heights a year and a half ago versus scaling new heights this year, the amount of people that just touched our table probably doubled. I think people are starting to see what these larger firms are doing. And they're like, okay, how are they doing this? How are they managing all this? How are they growing without hiring too much, without all these expenses, you know, whether it's benefits or you just paying team for during downtime, you know? And they're like, how are they doing this? How can I take a part in this? And they're curious more so than maybe everyone buying in as quickly as they are like touching our table. But there's definitely a growing curiosity that I've noticed just in the last year, year and a half. So the conversations are shifting and people again are looking for solutions.
And are you guys, the solution that you're providing, is it, am I, are you just bringing in tax and accounting pros, or are you bringing other support personnel as well? What's the full kind of gamut of the offering?
So it's a little bit of everything. And that's what I think makes GKM stand out. When I do any competitive analysis, I can see that GKM has a little bit of an edge. And the reason being is that we do everything. We provide the team, we can take in piecework, you name it. If you need bookkeeping, tax, accounting, file transfers, data transfers, we can help you if you need it. We have the resources, we have the team. No matter what tool you and your team use, we have somebody on our team, because it's so large, educated in that tool. So training is minimal. And like I said, we do either full-time staff, or you could just send in piecework. Like, okay, we have, I don't know, 20 1099s that need to be done. I don't want to have my senior staff drowning in that. It should be fairly quick. Send it over to GKM. And by the time they wake up the next morning, the work is done because of the time difference. So it's a pretty interesting system, and we're definitely different in that way.
Okay, great. And then, and this might be more on Srini's side. So when I send that work over, is that going to a dedicated person? Is it going to a pool of people? What does that look like on the other side of the pond, so to speak?
Gary, so as Kinga was mentioning, we either provide a part-time dedicated person to you, or we do work that is, let's say, not so voluminous, but instead, let's say something like, let's say 50 tax returns during a tax season, for which you wouldn't need one dedicated person. So in this case, what happens is when you have one dedicated person, there is a person and then there is a manager to every account. So the manager and the person is kept in loop across all conversations, communications, making sure that the streamlined work is coming back to you. On the other side, let's say if it's going to be tax returns or something that's more of a one-time activity, that's given to a specific team who's trained on your process, your procedures, and they make sure that they get the work done and they are there to support it. And internally, we allocate it, we get the work done for you.
Okay. And then are they considered, like, are they going to my weekly meetings to, like, if we have weekly staff meetings, I mean, are they, am I really considering this person as part of my team, or is it just going to somebody in India?
Gary, that's something that we've seen in some of the most successful relationships, where our team members are part of the daily or weekly huddle, where they're there as a part of your team and chit-chatting, talking the status, any problems, bringing it up, and anything that they've done over the week, they're there as a part of the discussion. And so this is something that's really helped strengthen relationships, is what we've seen in the past.
Yeah, I would think so. And we have three people in the Philippines who work with us, and they're, you know, super embedded into what we do and part of our team. And I think that is very, very helpful, right? When they are part of the team, they get to know the people, get even the nuances of the people, right? And, you know, okay, if I, you know, put an exclamation at the end of a text, it doesn't necessarily mean I'm mad, but so just the little things, and it gets us into a people business, very much a people business anyway, right? Even though we're remote, we are working together and we rely on each other. So what about, I think this still stays on your desk, Srini, and that is, you know, as a profession, we're always concerned with security. And so what does that look like from a, you know, practitioner standpoint? And what do I, as a practitioner, are there things that I have to share with my client base if I'm using, you know, outsourced labor in, you know, another country?
So I'm going to answer it in twofold, Gary. Okay. So I'll answer the second one first, where your requirement to notify your client. So the 7216 disclosure, what the IRS talks about, is only for the 1040 series of returns. And they do not mandate it for other form of engagements, although some firms do continue to notify their clients saying that we're outsourcing this work to an offshore provider such as GKM, so on and so forth. And then they get a consent from the client. And that's up to the firm's decision in terms of how their policies operate. And on the second side, in terms of our security, Gary, so we've been in this business for the last 25 years. And even since then, the first question that gets asked to us is, what are your security protocols? And we sit behind a secure facility where we work behind a firewall. All the data that comes into the office, goes out of the office, continuously monitored. And we hire, again, after due background verification and checks. And we are also an ISO certified, ISO 27001 certified facility. And we are in the process of getting our SOC 2 certification as well in the months to come. So, and we've had zero incidents till date, which is a testament again to the seriousness that we give to our security protocols.
Yeah. And you've been doing it a long time, right? So,
25 years.
Right. So you've kind of grown with security as the technology to get in has gotten more complicated. You've also built the walls to keep it out, right? So do you find, and Kinga, this might go back more to you, when you have conversations with, you know, with accounting professionals, are they, do the conversations start on, it's like, oh, I need price, or do I need service? Do I need availability? What do you find to be the kind of common themes in the conversations that you have?
The first question is it secure? Is it safe? Second question is, do I have to tell my clients? That's my favorite one. The third question is, how does it work? Like, do we have a platform? Do you get added onto our platform? And I think that adds a layer of security and relief to people when we say, we don't have a platform you have to sign into. It's not another sign in. You know, whatever tools you use, we adapt to them. So let's just say we're talking Intuit. You know, if you're using QuickBooks, you would add us an employee. We can only see what you allow us to see, no more, no less. And it's just, again, part of the security protocols. And it's definitely one of my top three questions. So basically everything we discuss and everything you asked is just coming from the mind of an accountant, because that's how everyone talks to us.
Right. Any others that come up on a recurring basis that are just kind of an ongoing theme when you have these conversations? Because, and I ask these because I think it's, people need to grow our firms, right? Or their firms, if they want to. And typically there's only a couple of ways to grow it, right? I mean, you've got to either add headcount, or you've got to automate, or a combination of the two, or work more hours. Maybe that's three ways to do it. And this is a valid, very viable way to do that. And we're not outsourcing accounting work, but we're outsourcing everything else that we can, so that we can concentrate on what we need to be doing and what we do best.
Yeah, I mean, people are always curious on how this can work. Like, do you have to hire them for you know, indefinitely? And that's why from the jump, I always bring up that you can do like a full-time employee, piecework, you know, for the season, whichever is needed, because, well, it's one of the main questions, first of all. But secondly, it is important to every business, because when you are worried about cash flow and growth, or like the potential sale, you want to make sure everything's in order. You don't want to tire out your senior staff. And that's one comment that we're getting a lot. Like, I'm senior on the team. Like, I'm tired of doing all the busy work. Like, I want to actually take on the role that I'm supposed to be, you know, especially during tax season.
Right.
They want to be doing the taxes. They want to be doing some of the more difficult work. So that's another thing that pops up with us. And another question comes is like, how do you guys pay for them? Do we pay for the team? There's sick days and things like that. And I think Srini could speak to that a little bit more, because that question comes up all the time. We're always whack-a-moling with that question. So Srini, if you want to speak to that a little bit, maybe like how it works once they're on the team, what we do moving forward.
Absolutely, Kinga. And so Gary, one other thing, just to continue in the same lines as what Kinga was saying, you want to make sure that basically all these members, although they are part of your team, we manage them. We make sure that all the HR side of formalities, other statutory regulations are all taken care of by us. And then we are more of how we interact with the staff members, but then they are still part of your team. They stand, they come to your huddles, they are there in your monthly meetings, they are there in all the other activities as you think fit. And it's more, think of it like this, it's more like an employee who is working remotely out of office. So it's right. going to be as simple as that.
Well, it actually, there's another layer to it too, because yeah, you have that other employee, but what we actually do at GKM is we have another senior CPA, the most seniors, looking over the work. So even if you're a pretty high level CPA at GKM, we have a free review process that adds that second level of security in the actual work you have returned back to you. And that's just another perk of working with GKM, because yeah, we make sure that all the work is looked over and gets a once over before it's actually returned back to you. And then, you know, back to the client. So there's a little extra that we do there.
Yeah, great. And now what about training? And they're your staff, right? They're not my staff. They're your staff. And do you have ongoing training that, you know, on various software suites and various, you know, tax laws and regulations? What does that look like?
So, yes. So we do have weekly, monthly trainings that are ongoing as a part of our learning and development program. So everybody has to undergo all of these training programs mandatorily. So that may include, you know, teaching them stuff which is a little complex in terms of accounting or some tax laws or updates on taxation, those sort of higher level activities. But let's say, how do you maintain work papers at the firm level? That's something that we would get a training or a knowledge transfer from the client during the time of onboarding. So those are specific firm policies on which we get knowledge transfer on. But again, on the other side, we train them on all the all things related to the task that they are going to do, be it accounting, tax, or audit.
Okay. So you mentioned onboarding. That's my next question. What does that look like? So Kinga calls me up and says, hey, you should use us for outsourcing. We can do everything and you can go spend the rest of your time at the beach while we do all the work. That's a big exaggeration, but although maybe it's not, maybe y'all can.
Maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not. Right. So we have our, you know, 3 to 5 conversations and I finally say, yes, you know what? You're right. It's October 22nd, tax season's right around the corner. And I know I'm going to have a bump in business because my partner decided he was going to the beach. And so now I have more work to do. What does that look like when we finally say, yep, let's do business together?
So Gary, what typically happens during an onboarding is we get an understanding of your clients, we get an understanding of the businesses that they are into and how you want things done in the firm. So this is more or less on lines with a protocol that you would follow if you are hiring somebody in-house. You're going to walk them through your clients, you're going to walk them through your tech stack, you're going to walk them through your access rights and different things that you will need them to know on a day-to-day basis in order to for them to function. How are they going to get work? What is their deliverable? All of these things. So typically we delve deeper into each and every one of these topics in terms of how things are being done at the firm level. And we have a standard a procedure checklist, which we make sure we get done with the client, and how soon are we going to meet, or what is going to be our meeting protocol. All of that gets documented during the onboarding call. It's a pretty, I would say, a 1.5 hour call where we do get an understanding of a lot of these aspects, which are going to be useful for the team on a day in, day out basis.
Right. And then, so we're going to have the hour and a half discovery call. Obviously, it's going to vary by by client. Then after that, once we start kind of the flowing of information back and forth, how much time am I, and again, this obviously is going to vary by firm, but how much time do I need to plan on kind of carving out of my day as I get this person kind of into my firm?
So in the most successful of relationships that we've seen in the past, the investment in terms of time has been a little higher on the initial few months until they get a comfort of the team gets a comfort of the client. So once this level of trust is established with the client, then there are clients that we don't talk to for months together now, but we've been serving for the last 15 years or 17 years. They know what to expect when they give us work. And the team also knows what the client expects when they give us work. So because of this level of trust being established with the client, there is, unless there is something specific that they want to go over with the client, they don't really have calls in between. But with every new relationship, there is a certain expectation that they would want to align in terms of both what the team is to deliver and also the team in terms of the instructions that they need from the client. So in order to get an alignment of this, probably, you know, at least weekly 2 hours or 3 hours would be very ideal, and monthly about less than 10 hours would be most optimal. But there are clients at least weekly once there's a touch base, a 4 or 5 hour investment over the month would be a good way to start off.
Yeah. And then you can just assign someone on your team to, you know, just be in charge of working with that person. So it's not always, you know, the owner of the company, it could be any member, just to keep communication up. Again, it's up to you how you choose to do it, how often, but it's just like hiring any employee. You just want to get an understanding of each other's processes. And, you know, everyone has different expectations. Every company works differently. So it's not a one-size-fits-all solution. And I don't think it's a one-size-fits-all answer. It's just whatever works for your business. Depends on the workload, depends on the group, depends who's working with them. And hey, once you guys figure it out, it's more hands-off as time goes on, just like any hire.
Right. Yeah. And we've seen that, you know, with our, our three in the Philippines. They're very, very proactive. And actually they're doing things. And now, and they've been with us the least, we have one who's been with us a year, just like last week was a year. Another's been a year and a half, maybe. And then the other one's 3 and a half, maybe almost 4 years now. And, you know, the more longer they've been in the business, the more comfortable they are with being in the business and with taking initiative. And it's really a great relief when they just start doing, right?
Are they outsourcing your tax and all
no,
that?
It's just our, like our work. Like we have one that's kind of running the social media for us.
Gotcha.
We're starting to put, oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I don't have to do it. Yeah.
Exactly. Anything helpful is helpful.
Yeah. And so,
I was gonna come at you for not using GKM if it was so we were gonna have to, you know, in front of everyone, go at it.
Right, have to call me out. No, we have a local resource for that. And yours truly, who gets to work in QuickBooks, who should not be working in QuickBooks, I am. So I think the key, just to follow up, kind of close that last question, really is the more you put in, right, the more you're gonna get out. Absolutely. And the more time I can spend on the front end with the team that's going to be serving my account, then again, the better they'll understand what my workflow is, the better they'll understand kind of what my business, how I function. So let me flip that a little bit. If they see that my business is not functioning smoothly, if I have terrible workflows, are you going to say, hey, have you considered this in your workflow? Or are they just going to sit back and let my terrible workflow keep going?
That's a tough one. I know.
Yeah, and that's not a trick question. That's not a trick question. It really is just
because it's funny because there's certain personalities in people. Some are afraid to overstep and some are more assertive, right? I wouldn't be surprised if there's a bunch of people that are like, okay, we've seen this, we've done this a million times. We've worked with a bunch of companies, hundreds. May we suggest XYZ?
Yeah.
But Srini, I think, like, you know, it's one of those things, like, if I don't want to say you get lucky with the right person, that's not true at all. I think that eventually they'll be like, hey, why don't we try this? Or is it okay if I send this to you instead of being like, hey, boss. Yeah. I'm going to change the way you do your business. You know, I think they all gently approach it.
So we do actually, you know, we don't do it as a part of our service offering, but, you know, when clients interact with us in terms of when they ask us what could, I mean, because we work with different accountants or different accounting firms of all sizes, they generally ask for some recommendations in terms of what could be a tool that will solve this problem or what will be a process that will solve this problem. And that's something that a few firms do ask us, and we do suggest, and they do also make changes. So it's not a change per se in terms of changing a process just because they are outsourcing to GKM, but more so to making an open, putting in a better process at their firm level.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because again, especially if you're in a small firm, you kind of, hey, this is how I do it. I do it this way. It doesn't mean it's the right way. Doesn't mean it's the best way. So if you can help me, you know, save time, get it, you know, maybe even save on some software expenses because, you know, I'm doing, you know, I've got three softwares that should be just been doing one. There's just a lot of ways that you and your team have exposure to that I might never have exposure to because I've got my head down working, right? Trying to grow a business.
And that's something that I think all of our clients should probably take advantage of because, like you said, we get the exposure. We see how, you know, the more successful businesses are working and we can apply that, right? Without giving away any details that we shouldn't, but
Right. Well, yeah, of course. Right. And so as we said, the starting is October the 22nd, which means tax season is not really that far away.
I can see it.
Yes. Right. And so people need to be thinking about it. I'm sure they are, and planning for it. So again, going back to our scenario, we had our three or four or five discovery calls and we finally decided, yep, let's do it for this tax season. Let's get you guys on board. What's your recommended time frame of like from now to if we want to be prepped, you know, January 1 and roll in January 1, when should we be onboarding and having kind of a contract in place, let's just call it?
So Gary, we would prefer before the mid of December, so that that gives us time to kind of have the tech stack set up, the processes run through, and we have everything in place. And we also have the people in place for the team. And let's say somebody wants to do 3,000 returns next season, right? So then they need the team, they need to be comfortable with the team and all of that to happen. We need some time in terms of making that happen before the busy season starts in February. So I would say, before the mid of December would be ideal.
Okay. All right. So a couple of weeks ahead of time, but even you'll take a month. A month would be great.
Oh, we'd love that. Take two, right? Let's allocate. Let's start working. Let's start learning the processes and learning each other, right? That's the big one. So the sooner the better, obviously.
Yeah. So what are some, we didn't talk about this in the green room, so I apologize if I put you on the spot. We can cut it out if it doesn't work. What are some success stories? Do you have success stories you can share where you've had kind of, again, these discovery calls and then people come on board and they're like, wow, why didn't I do this 10 years ago?
Yeah, I think Shreddy can talk to that a little bit more. He sees them at that point.
So we do have this every year, Gary. So we do see clients who are delighted about the turnaround, the service levels, and the quality of output that they get. And then we've had a lot of clients who've been with us for a very long time now. So there are some clients who kind of base their growth upon, you know, leveraging GKM as their growth engine. So they are just a three-member firm in the front end, but they have 12, 15 people at the back end who works for them. So they just keep growing at the back end and they have very good system that's helps them to scale up very quickly. So there are firms that are working that way. And then there are some larger firms as well that leverage GKM for the capacity during the tax season or outside the tax season as well.
Okay, great. And so I think we're going to kind of start wrapping up. I don't think I've missed anything, but where can people find you guys? Again, it's October 22nd. I think you are currently at Women Who Count.
Yeah.
I think there's somebody there. Where else for the balance of this year, and then also obviously, you know, online, what's the best way to reach you?
So we are going to be at the Fall Management Conference, the AICPA National Tax Conference, and the Oklahoma Tax Institute Conference. As of right now, those are next three confirmed conferences that you could actually come meet us. I know Srini's going to be in the U.S. He likes to visit firms while he's down here. So if you want to visit from Srini, give him a call. He'll sneak you in. If you do want to get in contact with us, we have our website, gkmtax.com. There's an easy, just a little sign up if you want to get a call back or book some time with Srini. I'm not sure if you have that slide we gave you, if anyone wants to pull that up, but if not, that's okay.
I don't have it here, but we'll add it on the
totally cool.
On the back end.
Totally yep. Cool. Yeah, I mean, it's super easy. And yeah, if
right.
You can see our screen right now, we have that little QR code. If you want to scan it, that'll take you right into Srini's calendar. So you can get right up front and personal with the big man. And we just thought we'd give you some five reasons as to why you should outsource with us. And for those of you that can't see our screen, it's to free up time for growth, access specialized expertise, reduce overhead costs, increase efficiency and speed, and then build flexibility and scalability for your firm. So I thought
yeah,
I'd do
and
that.
I think all five of those should be of great interest to anyone that's in a firm that has intentions to grow, right? And especially as we're, you know, looking at, you know, the next tax season's right around the corner. You know, you can either use your time looking for new clients, use your time on the higher level, higher dollar clients, right? And increase the number of returns that you're doing, just a lot of ways that you can leverage outsourcing. And while we've talked, you know, specifically a lot about, you know, GKM, you know, the point is outsourcing is here. Outsourcing is a very real option for firms. And again, we use it not in tax and accounting, but we use it and have found it to be very, very beneficial for us. We've been able to, you know, add people in some dedicated roles that we just were ignoring prior to bringing them on board. And also, if even roles that we weren't ignoring, but we had a person like myself or my business partner doing things that we really shouldn't be doing, either because it's not in our skill set or because our time, I hate to say it's more valuable, but it is, because I'm better at doing, you know, this, or better at doing, you know, business development, sales and marketing than I am at, you know, trying to figure out why my Outlook calendar won't update. You know, I shouldn't be doing that because it's not my skill set. So outsourcing is a great way to do that. It is a great way to really backfill your in-house staff, or in this case, out-of-house staff, but so you can better utilize your time doing the things that you want to do and the things that you're better at, right?
Exactly.
That's the way I see it. So
chef's kiss, couldn't have said it better myself.
There we go. All right. So will either of you or Kinga, will you be at Intuit Connect, which is next week?
No, I will not, unfortunately.
Nope.
Okay. Unfortunately, this year, Intuit Connect is not in the cards for us.
Yeah.
This is the first time, maybe the last time, but yeah, this year, it just, we couldn't make it work.
Yep.
But we'll see you guys everywhere else.
Yeah, we'll be there walking, but no, we won't have a booth. So we shall see how it is. All right. Well, Srini, thank you so much. Kinga, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The you saw the slide one more time, just for those who didn't see the slide, give them the website and best way to reach you.
gkmtax.com. And yeah, there's a form you could fill out there, or kinga@gkmtax.com. And then I could forward you over to Srini's calendar. He can answer your more operational questions like we mentioned.
Great. All right. Anything in passing or parting? Or did we cover it all?
I think we covered it all. You know, it's the future. Everyone is looking to fill some gaps. Everyone's looking to make some room at a fraction of the cost without hiring full times, paying benefits, things like that. So yeah, at least consider it, look into it. And if you want to learn more or just have a casual conversation, just let us know. We'll be happy to do that too.
Very good. All right. Well, thanks again.
Thanks, everybody.
We'll talk very soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.
This episode of the Accounting Insiders podcast is brought to you by Insightful Accountants Be Insightful membership program. Get 9 expert-led training tracks, over 30 CPE hours a year, hands-on workshops, and year-round premium content to grow your skills and your practice. Learn more at blog.insightfulaccountant.com. Just click the premium member content button.